Excuse me, I'd like to inform participants today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Working Principles Subteam meeting on the 13th of February 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langlois, Tom Barrett, Alan Greenberg, Greg Shatton, Nick Steindahl, Chuck Gomes, and Avi Doria. We have received no apology for today's call. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Let's jump right in. Aubrey, I'm glad to see you got a break and shoveling snow. I'm leaving that to the hotel people here in Virginia. So we got quite a bit here. Let's jump right in now. It showing on the screen is exactly where I thought we were supposed to pick up today, under implementation standards. And part A there is something that I noted is already in B1 above. The same thing is stated up there. Now, Tom, you said you'd like to see this up front. Are you okay with where we have it in B1? Are you on mute, Tom, or just thinking?
Tom's typed into the chat that he is okay with that. I had to come off mute myself.
Okay, so you're okay with that. Okay. I got it. Okay, so that's good. Thanks, Tom, for chiming in the chat. So that's helpful. So now the question is, So do we delete it here? But before we talk too much about that, I want to refer you to Mary's comment down below. Because she has some nice wording there as well. Now, I like the wording that we have in B1. I'm not arguing with that. But Mary add some wording down there that was pretty good too. So take a look at that, where she says policy and implementation are not two separate phases entirely, but require continuous dialogue and communication between those that determine the policy, the GNSO, and those that are charged with operationalizing, implementing it, and that staff. I thought that's another nice way to word that. So I guess my question for the group is, do you like that as well? Do we just add it to what's in B1, or do we put it here? I'd appreciate some thoughts on that.
Cheryl here, Chuck. I can't see any downside in adding it to B1.
Thanks, Cheryl. Chuck again. Is there anybody that would object to that? Okay. Very good. Any other comments? Aubrey, you checked agree. Thanks. Very good. If anybody else wants to speak up, let me know. Otherwise, we will just add that to B1 and delete it here under 1A where we started off on the screen. Are you with us okay, Marika?
Yes, this is Marika. I think I got it. She just wanted to add it at the end of B1, right?
That's an additional B1, point. That's it. Okay. All right. I think we then can, unless I see any other hands or hear anyone, go on to Part B there, which I guess would become an A for now anyway. By the way, I wrote myself a note in my comment there. Marika, myself, Aubrey also had comments on that previous one, like Mary did. I'm assuming that Aubrey, you're okay with those, and Marika, you're okay with what you with your comment. Did you want to talk to that anymore? Speak up if either one of you want to talk to your comments further. Okay, I'm assuming it's okay. So in B, then, we have all GNSO-PDP working groups should be encouraged to provide as much implementation detail as possible within a reasonable time frame. To the extent implementation detail cannot be provided, the PDP recommendation should strive to identify areas where additional policy work may be needed based on issues that become evident only in the first cut at implementation. That was a suggestion from the registry stakeholder group statement in response to our request. I'll open that up for discussion. Are you okay with that as a principle? Do you want to edit it? Are you not okay with it? Anybody like to speak to that? Okay. Anybody object to that being included as a principle? Okay. Tom, go ahead and speak.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we can wordsmith this a bit and get more specific. It just seems like a motherhood and apple pie statement. I'm wondering if we can try to get more specific in terms of what we're looking for out of the working group here in terms of implementation.
Okay, you have some suggestions?
Well, there's different types. We want to know an idea of how long it might take to implement or recommended to implement. We might want to know who we think impacted. We might want to know what obligations we think this is going to put on people. What are the who, what, and why that should be addressed in as a deliverable from the working group?
Okay, well, let's take it in pieces. That might be easier. So it starts off, all GNSO-PDP working groups should be encouraged to provide as much implementation detail as possible within a reasonable time frame. Now, would you do you think that needs any fixes?
This is Marika, if I can actually add something, because I think some of the detail that Tom is referring to is actually in the PDP manual as some of the required elements that need to be included. So it does talk about, impacted stakeholders, it provide implementation guidance. So I think some of that may already be in the PDP manual. So maybe worth maybe looking there what it says, what it specifically says there.
So a question I have then is, should we use some of the language from the PDP manual or refer to the PDP manual?
Cheryl, sounding for referral. I like referring to the manual. And then if the manual changes, the reference is okay.
Okay. Marika, can you maybe make a suggestion in terms of how you would refer to the PDP manual there? Very good. You're way ahead of me, as usual.
Yeah, and this is Marika. I, after the call, I can as well look up if there's a specific section that talks about it and add that reference. But for now, we can maybe just leave it general.
So now what we have is all GNSO-PDP working groups should be encouraged to provide as much implementation detail as possible within reasonable time frame as outlined in the PDP manual. And I see Alan's hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'll express a bit of concern I have with the wording here. I cannot count the number of times in PDP working groups where the group goes off on some tangent. An interesting theoretical discussion or an interesting something, but it's not really salient to determining policy. And the expression used to bring them back on track is often, that's implementation, we don't need to worry about that. And the wording that's written here, I read, and maybe I'm reading it incorrectly, is it's not that we should be writing the whole implementation plan, but the working group has some responsibility to identify the implementation to sufficient level of detail so that policy decisions do not need to be made on the fly or quasi-policy decisions when the actual implementation is going ahead after GNSO and board approval.
So, Alan, the way you just worded that sounded like you might be on to some rewording for this that might work.
Well,
can you put that into this sentence?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's one of these judgment calls. How do you recognize? You know, it's one of the things we had an infinite discussion on last week. You know, how do you recognize when something is, yeah, it's implementation, but it's really going to have an impact, and yeah, it's just implementation. If you can get what I mean from the tone of my voice, I don't know how to differentiate them in words.
Well, let me ask.
But I worry about giving.
I
worry
if I
about
can.
Giving.
Stuck again. So do you agree with the idea that we want, whether the wording's right or not, it's helpful when the policy development body provides as much help for the implementation of it as possible?
If we're talking about the new GTLD policy, where the policy clearly did not go into a lot of detail, yes, the more it would have done, the less debate we would be having now. But there are other aspects that most people would agree are just implementation, are just the mechanics of putting it in place, that are there's less need for the PDP working group to define in excruciating detail. I guess I'm trying to express a concern that if we use wording that has no qualifiers, We are going against the concern that has been expressed that people don't participate in PDPs because they're tedious and too much of the time is wasted. And here's an opportunity for people, you know, for one or two people to pursue something for an hour and a half discussion when it really has no impact. And I worry about that.
You know, and I this Chuck again, I get your point. Let's see if Tom can help us.
Well, I think, you know, I have to go back and review the PDP manual, but it sounds like in the PDP manual there's one of the deliverables of a working group is to have a section on implementation. And so it's basically saying that the working group must address implementation issues, not be silent on them. I think many of the problems we've had in the past is because, you know, it's very easy to come up with policy and say, well, let's leave the details to implementation, and it takes a right-hand turn because it wasn't specified enough during the PDP.
And that's, this is Chuck again, that's very well said, Tom, and in fact, in the new GTLD PDP, which I participated in, if we had tried to provide very much implementation detail, we might still be developing that policy. So I think it was a practical matter that we didn't. We achieved the objective of getting some high-level policy with very little, if any, guidance on implementation detail. My own personal opinion is that was a reasonable thing to do to avoid many years of policy development. So now we ended up spending the years in implementation, so maybe it's a wash. I don't know. Let me take a crack. Well, I got other hands up. Let me let some others try and help here, and I'm thinking of some ideas, too, to accommodate Alan's concern, which I think is valid. We just got to find the right words to say it, where we do want them to provide as much guidance as possible with regard to implementation without getting into the nitty-gritty of an implementation plan, which I think is what Alan is saying. Let's go to Greg.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. I do share this concern as well. You know, part of it in looking at this, the wording here is talking about providing implementation detail. The word I think would be better than detail would be maybe implementation guidance. You know, the idea is to prevent the hard right turn or the situation where the implementers do something where the, you know, the people who wrote the policy say, how did they think we meant that? The idea is to provide guidance that, you know, keep them in line so that they feel like they can apply the guidance in a way that, you know, makes sense, but not getting down into the weeds of actual implementation detail concerns me. I mean, we don't want to be so high up in the, you know, 10,000-foot level that it's impossible to see, you know, how implementation would take place, but we don't want to get so far down in the weeds that we're essentially taking the implementation into the working group. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg, and you're going, that's exactly the word I was thinking of as well. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I actually don't have quite as much concern as perhaps Alan and Greg do. First of all, I think if we've changed the world to where we're saying lines, that's just implementation, become nonsense after this effort, you know, we won't have that avoidance of those issues. Now, in fact, we are recommending partly what we actually did do on the new GTLD program. Anybody goes back to that, they'll see there's a whole line of implementation guidelines. And now, at the time, you're right in one respect, Chuck, in that we said we weren't going to follow things to the bitter end because we know it would have to be reviewed and we would be here forever. Though, as you say, also, somebody else was there forever and we're still doing it. So perhaps that was a wrong decision at the time. But beyond that, you know, we did put the guidance there. I'm not sure to what degree it was paid attention to, because when we did it, our notion was this is just implementation guidelines, and they don't have to pay attention to them if they don't want. But remember what we did do. We went through for every policy we came up with. We had some members of the policy staff that were going, not the policy staff, the implementation staff that were going, okay, how would we do this? And they'd come back to us and say, you know, we really can't do that. But perhaps if you changed it, we could do this. So we actually did negotiate a lot of that stuff without using the N-word. And then, oh, it's a different N-word. But anyway, without using the negotiation word. But those things weren't at all fixed anywhere because that was just implementation. Those were just examples. That was forgotten. So what we're saying now is we should really do more of what we did then. And I think in terms of it driving, allowing people to go down their rat holes, I think that if implementation details are an accepted guidance that we can give, and I think guidance is a great word, are an acceptable thing, then it just becomes a matter of a saying, oh, that's just implementation, becomes the question is, so what part of implementation does this affect and why? And so I really don't see the problem. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Aubrey. Chuck Eureka. Again. You bring up some good memories of the actual PDP work, so thanks for refreshing my memory there. Greg, is that a new hand?
Can I be in the queue as well, Chuck?
You sure may. Greg, is that a new hand?
It's a Mr. Deal hand.
Okay, go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note, I think that the guidance or the term guidance follows very well along with the current practices in PDP working groups. And I don't know if any of you have seen The board resolution on the SIG who is PDP, for example, which actually specifically references the implementation guidance provided by the GNSO Council, and that needs to be considered or taken into account as part of the implementation process. Also, again, referring to the implementation review team that the council decided to form. So I think it's, you know, what we're talking about here, I think, is something that's already becoming a practice where indeed working groups do try as much as they can to provide implementation guidance. But I think indeed recognizing that in certain cases there may be limitations either, you know, because of timing or expertise or knowledge in a working group, because, you know, certain things indeed it's just a question of working them through and seeing how all the pieces fit together and, you know, getting the technical expertise added to that that may actually, you know, get you into the weeds, as we said. So basically just to note that I think as it's currently written really follows along with what current practice in PDP working groups is.
Thanks, Marika. Chuck again, and thanks, Aubrey, for acknowledging agreement there. Let me come back to Alan, who raised this issue, and we're just talking about that first sentence, Alan. Are you okay with this?
Sure. Okay. I have the concern, but I have no way to address it that's likely to be acceptable or even acceptable to me. So let's go with it and see where it leads.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. So let's go on then to the next sentence, which is, to the extent implementation guidance cannot be provided, the PDP recommendation should strive to identify areas where additional policy work may be needed. And I'm having trouble reading it. Let me go back to my hard copy here.
Sorry, Chuck. I was just saving the document.
Okay, good. All right, so the extent implementation guidance cannot be provided, the PDP recommendation should strive to identify areas where additional policy work may be needed based on issues that become evident only in the first cut at implementation. So let me throw that out for discussion. I'm having trouble with that last part where it says only in the first cut at implementation, but I probably was involved in that at one time. Anyway, Greg, go ahead.
I'm having problems with that last statement as well, because the last clause makes it seem like we're not going to have, how can you identify areas where policy work will be needed if the areas are only going to become, if the policy work that's needed is only going to become evident after there's a first cut of implementation, presumably implementation after the end of the PDP. So I might cut that sentence after needed. And cut out based on issues, et cetera, especially since we're talking about overarching principles here. So these should be, I think, stated at kind of, if you will, a policy level.
So delete it, says Chuck again, delete it from based on, right? Based on
correct issues.
Yeah,
as Marika has it.
Yeah, as she shows. Very good. Yeah. So, and I think I saw another hand. Alan, go ahead.
I just wanted to support that. The alternative is the implication that we have to do the first cut of implementation before we close out the PDP, which I don't think was what we were intending to be saying there.
Right. Thanks, Alan. Chuck again. Any
Chuck,
other comments on this? So we have the two sentences there. I won't read them again. Any other comments? Is that a new hand, Greg?
Well, I think Cheryl was trying to get in.
Yeah, just briefly, I wouldn't mind with the end of that sentence where it says may be needed, just adding the words during implementation, because then it means it's, you know, not endless.
any problems with that? That makes sense to me.
It's Alan. It's of course leaving silent the question of how do we do policy work during implementation, but presumably this group is going to have to deal with that eventually.
I think so. We're going to at least try.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anything else? Greg, is that a new hand?
That is, in fact, a newly grown hand.
Okay. Go for it.
I think the answer to that question is, or an answer to that question, lies in the implementation review team process, where essentially some form of the working group continues on as an IRT, which can then, you know, act and provide, you know, kind of continuing policy guidance during implementation. That, to my mind, seems like the an avenue by which one can do policy work during your implementation, or at least provide policy clarification during implementation. Thank you.
And so Greg, question Chuck again. You're okay with the revised wording?
Yes, I am. I like that. I think that helps.
Thanks. Okay. Anything else on this principle? Two sentences there. Not seeing any hands or hearing anyone. Let's go to what is now B. It was C. Administrative updates, error corrections, and clarifications to approved GNSO policies should be treated as implementation issues without any requirement for public consultation, except the right for the community to challenge whether such updates were indeed simply administrative updates, error corrections, or clarifications. So now, Tom, I think you were the one that had concerns about this and even suggested deleting it. And I commented after our last meeting that I wasn't quite ready to get rid of it because it seems to me that this is a helpful principle to avoid fairly simple things. But let's talk about it. Tom, would you like to talk about your concern?
Well, I guess what I wanted to avoid was, again, relying on someone's judgment to decide that there's no requirement for public consultation. Having transparency and visibility to when someone makes that judgment call.
Yeah. Did I hear somebody wanting to speak?
Yeah, this is Marika, and I think in practice how this would work and is basically that, of course, these changes would come up through the implementation review team. I think what we're trying to say here, or at least, you know, from what the intention was in the draft framework, basically relates to the fact that, you know, if we need to make the policy recommendations include a spelling mistake, that we can just go ahead and, you know, correct the language, for example, without having to open a public comment forum on it. It would be something that, of course, we would share then with the implementation review team and say, hey, we noticed that you actually made a spelling mistake here in this recommendation, so we fix that. Hope you have no issues with it. But I think, indeed, the underlying principle here is to say, look, if there are really minor things, that shouldn't necessarily go to a public comment forum, which, indeed, you may get community overload if for every little change you need to do public comment forum. But again, I think the underlying principle is, and that will probably presumably come back as well, as we said, in talking through how staff would work with the implementation review teams, of course, those kind of items would come up as part of those conversations and as that group would review the different iterations of an implementation plan and implementation language.
Thanks, Marika. Chuck again. And of course, we have that added wording there, the exception, was kind of was added, I think, to deal with Tom's concern. If something is treated as an administrative or issue or error correction, the idea is that if somebody doesn't think it really was administrative or just simple error, that could still be challenged. Now, I guess the question for Tom is that sufficient to address your concern, or should we add something else there or reword it?
I'm not convinced it addresses it yet. I'd like to hear from some other folks.
Okay. Several of us, I think, this is Chuck again, several of us think that this is an important principle. Just to make sure that we don't spin our wheels checking every little minor detail. You're right, Tom, that it requires some judgment. But I think everything we do requires some judgment. And if as long as there's a challenge mechanism or a challenge opportunity, because it's all going to be public, it's all going to be transparent, I'm okay with that. And I think that's a lot – that potential for error is a lot more acceptable than not putting this in there, and so every little change has to go through some rigorous process. So, but anyway, somebody else, and Cheryl, thanks for the agreement there. Somebody else want to speak to this? Tom would like to hear from you. So while we're waiting there, Tom, is there a better way to tweak it that would make you feel more comfortable? Okay, certainly if you think of one after or later in this call or after this meeting, you can communicate it on the list. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any requirement here for public consultation. I just think there's a requirement for transparency. So how do we ensure that we know there are changes?
Well, we can certainly add language there that indicates the requirement for transparency. Cheryl, that was.
And Marika's helping us out there.
Well, does that work, Tom?
Yeah, I think that improves it.
That okay? Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, Marika. All right. Anything else on that one? We're moving along pretty well. All right. Let's go then to another. Tom, we already covered your comment, Tom, so we don't need to do that. So what was once D is now, C. And when I looked at this again today, I thought, I wonder if we could reword this, assuming we want it in there, like we did Roman numeral 2C above. I think Aubrey helped us on that in a previous meeting or in between. And I thought it was a pretty clean way of doing it, and we could follow that same pattern. Because it was also referring to a one of the values in the ICANN bylaws. Thoughts on that? I think the way it's worded right now isn't sufficient, but maybe it's even a simpler tweak. Now, what we did on that other one was, each of the principles in this document must be considered in terms of the degree to which they adhere to and further the principles defined in ICANN's core values as documented in Article 2 of the ICANN bylaws. And then the sentence that I thought maybe what could go here or something like it was, a particular note should be made to 8 and give the core value with regard to 8. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
No thoughts, but no problems with that. That's Cheryl.
That work? Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'm stumbling on trying to figure out what core value 8 is, and I would rather give a name to it rather than a number.
It's in the text there.
But why do we need to have a principle that refers for another principle?
Cheryl, you have a thought on that?
I'm happy if you want to repeat it. It's not a problem. I, as you know, Chuck, like less words rather than more, and it's not speaking.
Yeah. There are times when it's, I think it's helpful to repeat something just to make it very clear, even though it's elsewhere, and maybe even especially when it's, you have to refer to something else. But the question we need to ask then is this one of those cases, or should we delete that? Thoughts on that? Okay, Aubrey?
Yeah, this is Aubrey. Against deleting it, I think that that's so important that it needs to be in there. So I'd be very uncomfortable about deleting that.
Mm-hmm. Page is you. Tom, go ahead.
I would suggest that if there are specific elements of the bylaws that we want to highlight, then we should highlight those elements. So I think what we're saying is we want to highlight that you apply policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness as documented in Article 2 of the ICANN bylaws. Maybe you just highlight those particular elements that are already documented elsewhere.
Tom, Chuck again, are you suggesting that we reword it that way? By the way, I liked what you said, so I'm not questioning it. I'm just curious as what specifically you think we should do in terms of wording this.
Right, but I'm saying specifically, it sounds like we want to highlight a subset of what's already located elsewhere, and so I would focus on that subset in this sentence.
I thought, Tom, that's exactly what this does. It refers to the article in the ICANN bylaws. There's going to be a link that takes us there, and we pull out that we want them to make particular note of Core Value 8, and we quote it.
I don't have them in front of me right now, but is that a quote?
Well, if it's not, it should be.
Yeah, that's a good point. So should we then leave Chuck speaking? Should we then just take the wording we have in front of us and confirm that that is a quote and put it in quotation marks of the bylaws?
I think Avery was saying something.
I didn't have my hand up. Sorry.
Okay.
It is a direct quote.
That's what I thought.
Alan speaking.
Thanks, Alan. I just think it was.
I was still checking. What I think it is, but I'll check.
Okay. Yeah, and the previous one in Core Value 4, was it a direct quote, too? And if so, I would assume the same principle would apply there.
Read it out to me, and I'm looking at the bylaws. Read out what the text says.
Seeking and supporting broad, informed participation reflecting the functional, geographic, and cultural diversity of the Internet at all levels of policy development and decision-making.
Verbatim.
Thought so.
Okay.
Sorry, Chuck, I should have left that to you. I just jumped in there, but hey.
That's okay. For a small enough group, that's okay. Tom.
Yeah, we just jumped around a bit, but I just noticed we read off Core Value 4. So for Core Value 8, it's just not a grammatically correct sentence. So if it's a direct quote, we must be missing. You don't start a sentence by making decisions.
It's Alan speaking. The preamble to all of the core values is, in performing its mission, the following core values should guide the decisions and actions of ICANN, colon. It may not be grammatically correct, but it is what's in the bylaws.
That's what we have to quote, Cheryl.
Is that okay, Tom? I mean, if we're quoting, we have to be precise.
What if we remove the words making decisions by?
Then we're not quoting core value 8.
Well, we could put a dot, 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 and then applying documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness. I think that would be okay.
With the dot, 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 yeah.
But again, I'm just trying to see if we can reach consensus among ourselves in terms of how we're most comfortable and in particular dealing with Tom's concerns.
Can I ask a question?
Dot, dot, and
I have
then
a question.
Putting the apply, starting with applying. Aubrey?
Yeah, I got a question. Is the problem here just grammar, or is there some problem with mentioning decision-making?
This is Chuck. Tom, you get to answer that.
Yeah, I think it's just grammar.
Okay.
And just to clarify, I know this is do we always care about applying documented policies neutrally, objectively when we make decisions?
Repeat that, please, Tom. It's Chuck.
Is the principle of applying documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness, does that only apply when we make decisions?
Well, we're always making decisions, but you're right. Yeah.
That's Cheryl here. That's kind of a final problem, not ours.
I'm fine with putting the ellipsis in position of making decisions by.
Anybody opposed to that?
I can live with it.
I can live with it.
Okay. Are we okay then with what is now Principle C? Don't you just love deleting those things that we don't need anymore, Marika? I like seeing them go.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We now, I think, go to limitation of implementation. And I think the first thing we come to there are two principles that we worked on, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, and we moved them.
Or both.
To this area, if my memory is correct. So let's just take a quick look at those again. We spent quite a bit of time developing the wording on these, and I think they were originally one, and we separated them, if my memory is correct, which I wouldn't encourage you to necessarily trust. But let's look at that. So A was there should be a mechanism to flag and address unanticipated outcomes of implementation decisions that may significantly impact the community. Any more comments on that? Are we okay with that?
And this is Marika. The only thing we need to look at is the footnote that's linked to after impact, because we didn't complete that.
Oh, okay, that's right. And that's the example down below? Yeah, okay.
Correct.
Okay. So since that's in A, before I go to B, let's look at that. So focus your attention, please, on footnote 7, which says an example of an impact would be, for example, but not limited to, if new obligations are imposed on parties, and then the suggestion was to add some other examples. So put your thinking caps on and come up with some other examples, please.
Substantive financial changes.
Say that again, Alan, please.
The S word.
I have trouble saying it too. Substantive financial
changes. Decisions.
Impact.
Okay. Well, we're defining impact with impact.
Yeah, we're talking about impact. So
I said impost, not impact.
Okay.
Bird and Greg suggested I'm fine with that. But it's the changes. It's not. We know lots of things are expensive. We're saying the changes.
Would changes be a good word to use there instead of burden? By the way, I don't have any trouble with burden, but.
Isn't Rick, should we add here as well? Not anticipated, because in certain cases we may
good
be.
Good word.
Yes.
Okay.
Although, again, we're defining unanticipated outcomes with the fact that they were unanticipated. I have no problem with that.
Maybe we should say substantive changes to financial burden.
Yeah.
I think we could take out
Thank you. Was that Greg?
Yep.
Or Tom? Greg. Who was that?
That's Greg.
Greg.
Okay, thanks, Greg. I thought it was you, but I thought I better check.
Cheryl here. Tom's got a follow-on sentence. I would think suggest we could turn his question into a sentence and actually say, and other, we've got burdens still, and other burdens, and burdens other than financial, such as privacy. That actually works for me as another example.
Lack of accessibility. There's all sorts of things that policy that implementation can affect.
This is Marika. Can you just repeat what came after the other burdens?
Related to privacy, accessibility. Or we could actually incorporate the financial burden and put cost as one of these.
Yeah, actually, it changes to burdens and then just do, as Alan is suggesting, Cheryl.
Burdens such as remove and other burdens, yeah. Such as privacy, accessibility, cost.
Yeah, put in costs. That works, and do an et cetera, and we're fine.
You guys are doing good work. So now we could probably spend another 10 minutes coming up with other examples. Is this sufficient for the?
You've got to add one more rights protections before costs.
Looking out for the IPC, huh? See that, Greg?
Yep, good on you.
Yeah. I appreciate
the smile. Someone has to look out for them.
You have a very good smile, Greg. All right. Any other comments on the footnote for A?
We've included the kitchen sink in it. I don't think we can add anything else.
Well, we don't exactly have kitchen sink, but I'm hoping you're not suggesting adding it.
That's how I read et cetera.
Okay.
Get back on with the work, will you?
That's being too literal. Okay. Not seeing any other hands or hearing anyone, let's go to B. There should be a mechanism to flag and address situations where there may be a deviation between the implementation and the policy as it was originally intended. Greg.
Actually, that's a last second hand on the footnote.
Okay.
I think we could add risks as well.
Where would you put that, Greg?
Just put it at the end, after cost.
Cost, risk.
Yeah, fair enough. There's less in the et cetera pile, that one.
Thanks, Greg. Okay. Anybody not okay with that? All right. Back to B. Any comments on B?
Cheryl here. I think it's okay as is.
Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time on that. It does look pretty good to me. Anybody disagree with that? Chuck speaking again. Okay. All right, moving on. To I think we're now to proposed principles relating to ICANN staff. One we're missing here is that staff should do whatever we want them to do, no matter what.
Yeah, good try.
Look it out for you, Marika.
shall I just close the Adobe Connect room now?
Probably. Okay, let's back to us to getting serious. The first one Nick commented on. Let's look at it on the screen. So it rolls over, huh? So let me read it, and then Nick, if you would share your comment, I would appreciate it. So the GNSO working group guidelines contain the following that could contain possible policy and implementation principles. Now, obviously, this isn't worded the way we're going to want it as a principle. ICANN staff performs the following two basic functions for any working group, namely secretariat, fundamentally a support function covering logistics, and policy liaison, a support function providing working group assistance in a neutral manner, including drafting, if required, which should reflect faithfully the deliberations of the working group. And let me just turn it over to Nick. Are you on mute, Nick? Your point's well taken, Avery, on the rights protection.
Yeah, you're here on that one.
Yeah, good point.
In the absence of Nick speaking, and if you don't mind me filling in the ear for just a moment because his microphone doesn't work on today's call, the comment he made, and this is Cheryl, by the way, was the following. He thinks that the reality is that neutral manner, in inverted commas, may not always be the case. He states, ICANN staff have voiced opinions. These opinions were insightful. He understands the need for objectivity, but thinks the language is too restrictive. So he's looking for a softening of the language so that we can clearly seek and take some guidance from the experience and skill sets of the staff we have. Nick, let me know if I did justice to you.
And I, as you can see by the comment I added, I think he's got a good point there. So how can we, first of all, word this as a principle, and then secondly, accommodate the point that Nick's making, which I personally think is a good one. Let's go to Tom.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I would just add the word transparent. So we want to know when they have experience and some suggestions on tweaking something. So I think as long as it's transparent, it should be welcomed.
Hey, where would you put transparent, Tom?
Maybe in place of the word neutral.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. At least I think it is. Chuck speaking. Let's go to Alan.
Thank you. I guess I didn't see there was a conflict between neutral and providing opinions. There's a difference between providing opinions and having a veto. Or surreptitiously changing the document to say what you wanted to say if the work group didn't agree with you. So I don't see a problem as it stands, although adding that opinions and input participation from the from the staff involved is a good thing. I would not want to see that viewed as something bad. Transparent is a good word. I wouldn't have replaced neutral, but I think it's a good word.
Now, Alan, this is Chuck. So
new sentence,
you prefer the word neutral?
I like the word neutral where it's used, and I see in a new sentence that it appears we have both transparent and neutral, including drafting required, which should faithfully reflect the operations of the work group. I think
Cheryl, they're not mutually exclusive terms.
I didn't get that, Cheryl. Please repeat it.
They're not mutually exclusive terms. Transparent and neutral are not mutually exclusive. Have them both.
I like what Marika has written there. I think that's reasonable. That replaces the last half of the previous sentence, I think.
So did we, this is Chuck, did we adequately cover Nick's concern in his comment? Unfortunately, he can't talk, but maybe he can put something in chat.
Smiling. Put up a green cheek. There's a smiley, yeah.
I think that's a smile.
Yeah.
So I think that's okay. So if that's okay, anybody, any other suggestions on that principle?
We lost the secretariat part. I'm not sure that was intended.
This is Marika. I don't know, because, I mean, we're talking about the principles. So the section that was quoted is actually really a description of the role that staff performs. So, I mean, we can take the part of the secretariat back.
No, I don't mind. I was just noting that something disappeared that we didn't really discuss. Can we see the sentence again?
I can pull it back. There you go. So this is basically a quote from the PDP working group guidelines that describes the different roles that the different entities within a working group have, and one of those is a staff, of course.
Yeah, working group assistance. I'm happy with it, with having that replace the previous one. Don't know about anyone else.
So, Alan, this is Chuck. You're okay not describing what the secretariat and the policy staff do as comes from the guidelines. Is that right?
I'm certainly. If it's covered in the guidelines, I don't think we need to repeat it here.
So what we have then is policy staff policy staff is expected to provide PDP working groups assistance in a transparent and neutral manner, including drafting.
Cheryl, hey, Chuck, can you say something?
Faithfully, the determination. Oops, lost it. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thanks. I was just wondering, in the absence of a specific reference to the PDP guidelines, perhaps we should reference it here. So, policy staff is expected to provide PDP working group assistance as outlined in the PDP guidelines. Insert link in a transparent. You know what I mean?
Very good. Any other suggestions on A? All right. You get to delete some more stuff, Marika. Okay. And then we come to ICANN staff limitation. It says there must be a way to come to closure when the community is divided, and this should not simply give executive powers to ICANN staff. Three principles from the ALAC statement is where this came from. I'm looking down at the comments and trying to connect them. I don't know if they're connectable. Consider staff responsibility in relation to the communication. Maybe somebody can help me there. Alan, you want to explain your red dash there? What is a red dash? I got to look at that.
A red dash, if you don't mind me saying, as far as I understand, is you've left.
He's stepping away.
Left the room, you've stepped away. Right?
Thanks. I looked it up. So, okay. Well, so he stepped away for a minute. So,
I'm back now.
Okay, Alan, we're looking at something that came out of the ALAC submission there on ICANN staff limitation. Do you want to comment on that? Right now it says there must be a way to get closure when the community is divided, and this should not be not simply give executive powers to ICANN staff.
Well, that comes into the unanswered question, the one I made reference to before, of the process that we're going to use to decide policy issues that come up during implementation. You know, clearly we cannot charter a new PDP and stop everything for a year and a half to do that. At the other extreme, we don't want to simply give executive powers to staff to address any policy issue for expedience sake. This says we need to address that.
So this is Chuck. So are we talking about two possible different principles here? One, that the fact that closure hasn't happened doesn't give executive power to ICANN staff. And two, and I don't care what order they're in, two is that there must be a way to the GNSO, maybe we need to say the GNSO needs to develop a process when closure can't be reached. Now, by understanding that closure can mean, hey, there is no consensus, but anyway, that I throw that out, and I appreciate some participation here. Greg.
I have some problem understanding the sentence and also thinking about this statement as kind of a policy principle. My first question is, when it refers to the community being divided, I guess my question is, when is this division of the community occurring? It's not clear from this. This is during the implementation process, and how are we kind of coming to the conclusion that the community is divided? Is it an issue that arises at the GNSO council level or in discussion in other ways? I'm not getting this sentence entirely.
Well, this is Chuck. Is this is the vertical integration effort an example that will help us here? Obviously, in that case, there it was not possible to develop a consensus policy. Now, one approach to that is, okay, if you haven't got consensus in the community, you let, assuming that they can and there's no risks involved, let market mechanisms work. And what happened in that case, the board actually made a decision. Does that help, Greg, in terms of the kind of situations we're talking about?
Chuck, this is Marika. I think that's actually a very different example, because I think what we're talking about here is in cases where there is confusion or divergence in the implementation phase, where I think vertical integration is a whole category by itself, because it actually didn't relate to the implementation of a GNSO policy, which I think is what we're trying to talk about here. So I'm not really sure if that's the right example.
Thanks, Marika. That's a good point. So this is not about policy. This is just about it's not about a policy deadlock. It's about an implementation deadlock. Is that what you're saying?
It could be about a policy.
It's Alan. I disagree.
I understood it. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I thought we're talking here about implementation, but indeed, I haven't put the ALAC statement in context. So if they were talking about the policy process as well, you know, fair enough. I was under the assumption that we were specifically talking about implementation, where there may be divergence in the community on how something should be implemented. And I think in a new GTLD process, there are probably plenty of examples.
Chuck, before I give it to Alan and Greg, this comes back to what I brought up last time at the beginning. We're going to have to, you know, fix the outline here and the organization of things, because it was a fair conclusion on your part, because this really does come under an implementation heading. So that's fair. But we'll, I think we agreed last time at Cheryl's suggestion that we go ahead, work through the principles, and then we need to go back and agree on a meaningful outline and then put things in the right place. And this may be one of those that we want under policy or policy and implementation or just implementation. We can decide that later, I think. So, all right, let's go. Let me go ahead and go to Alan.
Thank you. I think the discussion we just had shows just how hairy and convoluted the processes we're talking about are. The case in point, vertical integration was a PDP that was chartered at the request of the board to address an issue that came up during implementation that had not been adequately addressed or in sufficient detail addressed by the GTLD PDP. So that's one of the few cases where something came up during implementation that actually did go to a PDP.
Mm.
And, you know, this is an iterative process. It was an issue that was not adequately addressed for various reasons during the GTLD policy. It was a substantive enough that it was felt that it should be addressed as a policy issue. And then we ended up not being able to come to closure on it. It shows just how messy some of these things can get, and perhaps is the best example of that. Now, when this statement was written, notice it says ICANN staff. It did not say the board. That statement was not precluding the board making a decision when the community can't come to closure. So it doesn't address the outcome of the vertical integration and wasn't meant to address the outcome of vertical integration in this particular statement. This statement is simply a restatement of what we now say earlier, that saying if there are substantive policy implications discovered during implementation, the community, the stakeholders must be involved in the resolution of the process.
Thanks, Alan. Greg?
Sorry, I was on mute, but and I think the conversation we just had, you know, shows why, you know, we kind of need to be a little more concrete in these overarching principles. Different people came up with three different thoughts about what the context or thrust.
You're very low volume right now.
Okay, sorry. I think three different people came up with three different kind of thrusts for why what we were talking about here. So I'm just I think we need to ground this in a more particular fashion. I think we're getting there.
Okay, this is Chuck again. Now, with regard to the what's been added there with A, do we have that earlier? So if we do, we probably don't need it again. And I don't have it in front of me right now. Was that one of those that we...
This is Marika. I basically tried to capture, I think, what Alan was trying to say, and the idea would be that this would maybe replace the second sentence, because I think what is really the key here is the last part, or I think what you're trying to convey, because I think indeed the first part we've said before, but I think the key part is what you want to get at is the last part, where it should not be left to ICANN staff to decide or give executive powers or however we want to word it, but I guess that's the key sentiment you want to convey in this principle.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. Chuck again. So let's just talk about the sentence was added. Is everybody comfortable with that? Anybody not comfortable? Any edits? So if there are substantive possible policy implications discovered during implementation, stakeholders must be involved in the process of resolving the issues, and it should not be left to ICANN staff to decide. Greg, go ahead.
I guess a couple of comments, and I'm not sure exactly how to resolve them drafting-wise. The first clause is kind of written in the passive voice. So I guess the question is, discovered by whom? Is it this, you know, discovery is kind of an interesting thing. You know, Columbus didn't really discover America. He just came upon it. So, you know, what kind of, I realize this is an overarching policy, and I'm having a little trouble even articulating my concern, but whenever I see the passive voice, I'm always concerned that we're kind of not talking about who the actors are going to be. So, and then the second, you know, question is it the GNSO Council? Is it individual stakeholder groups? Is it stakeholder organizations or constituencies? Is it even the general public?
This is Chuck. I'm going to respond to something before I let you finish and Alan to go ahead. But my own personal preference would be the GNSO, not GNSO Council. But that
I agree.
We'll discuss that, you know. But it might actually be discovered by one of the constituencies or stakeholder groups that maybe not necessarily the council. They'll probably bring it to the council's attention. But and the council can respond accordingly. But that's just a minor thing. Now, Greg, I think I stopped you before you were finished. So if you would like to continue, please do.
Yeah, I like the way it's been rephrased better. And kind of the second clause about stakeholders being involved. I mean, I think we can be very non-specific here. But the question is, this again, I go back to the idea: is an implementation review team a sufficient or example of stakeholder involvement in resolving an issue, or maybe even the most likely way it should be resolved?
And this is Marika, because one of the concerns or issues I have by just saying GNSO, you seem to imply that if just someone in the GNSO, or who is the GNSO, how is that done, the identification? I mean, the reason why I put GNSO Council is that in the GNSO Council, the GNSO Council would take a vote or adopt a resolution, which may be brought indeed through a stakeholder group or constituency or, you know, someone else in the ITIN community. So indeed, you're coming to, I think that aligns with Greg's point indeed, like, how specific do we want to be here by identifying indeed that it's a GNSO Council decision that may be brought by others? Indeed, is it the implementation review team that identifies the substantive policy implications during implementation, which are then, you know, recognized or ratified by the GNSO Council? Or I think, you know, we're kind of going in here already in the, I think, the working group discussion. So I see the challenge in here and indeed conveying, I think, what we're trying to say without actually prescribing how that process should go. But I don't really have the answer on how to do that.
Thanks. This is Chuck. Before going to Alan, I guess I'm less concerned about GNSO at the beginning. I'm not too concerned, maybe I should be, with regard to who identifies the policy implications. But where it says stakeholders, that's where I would like, where it seems like GNSO should be involved. Rather, stakeholders is a pretty vague term. Of course, GNSO is pretty broad too. But let me leave that there and go to Alan.
Thank you. This whole thing is in the context of what preceded it. We spent several hours talking about the sentence which talks about a mechanism for identifying when there is a policy implication. This is now addressing, fine, we've identified, we've flagged, we've recognized, whatever the word is we've used, that there are policy implications in what we thought was implementation. To address them, this sentence is what it's talking about. I would strongly object to the GNSO being identified here because there are too many parties who are not present in the GNSO. There are stakeholders who are deeply affected by decisions of the GNSO who have no voice in the GNSO. And therefore, I would vehemently object to GNSO being recognized there, and certainly even more the GNSO Council. We've said we need mechanisms to recognize when there are problems. We don't know what those are. But this says whatever those mechanisms are, however we found out there's a policy implication, this is providing a principle as to how we resolve that. So I don't think we need to go back to the basics and say who recognizes it. If for whatever reason we come up to the stage where there's policy, we want bottom-up. And I thought we said that overall way at the beginning, but if we didn't, we're saying it again. Or we are saying it again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Aubrey.
Thanks. Aubrey speaking. I guess I strongly disagree with Alan's vehement objection. As far as I'm concerned, it should be the GNSO Council. It's been identified by whomever, but it should be the GNSO Council that is notified of this identification, and it should be the GNSO Council that then needs to take it further, do something about it. Everybody has a method of notifying and raising the flag on the GNSO, and if there's not, then perhaps those mechanisms do need to be created. But there's any number of ways for other groups to notify the GNSO, hey, there's a problem here. So I think it has to concentrate on the GNSO Council, and it has to be somebody that can filter the variety of interrupts that might be raised. We talked about this as an interrupt. The previous one we talked about in the context of a non-maskable interrupt being raised, use software notions. Here we're talking about the interrupt handler. The interrupt handler seems to me most appropriate to be a function of the GNSO Council. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. This is Chuck. Before giving it back to Alan, I am much more comfortable having GNSO Council the way it's worded now. GNSO Council should be notified and involved in the process. So I'm okay with that other change. So I'm okay there. Let me turn it to Alan.
Yeah, thank you. Avery disagreed completely with something I didn't say. I was objecting to the term GNSO as in drafting, which is now long gone, that said the GNSO Council, if something is identified by the GNSO Council. I was objecting to the GNSO being the identifier, not the resolver. We've already decided the GNSO is the body under which auspices policy decisions are made. That's in the bylaws. That wasn't the context that the term GNSO or GNSO Council was in the sentence that I was commenting on at the time.
Thanks, Alan. Let's go to Greg.
Hi, it's Greg. I guess my concern here now, and I took after Alan's comment that we need to look at this in context, pulled up the last document I had in my email and looked at how this falls into this. And obviously, we need to continue working on the outline as well, but this is under principles relating to ICANN staff is the major heading, and then this is the second minor heading, which is ICANN staff limitations. And I think what this principle should primarily be talking about is what are the limitations on kind of the latitude of ICANN staff, and not on the question of when a division is identified by whom and whether it's reported to the GNSO Council. I think we're kind of putting, if we want a process to deal with that kind of division, it should probably go somewhere other than under ICANN staff limitations.
And I think, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, Greg, Chuck speaking again, but I think we can deal with that once we come up with an outline and really decide where to put things. But if you think that's not that we shouldn't put that off, I'll certainly I'm okay with that.
Sorry to talk over you. I'm okay kind of capturing the issue here, but I think we can at least put a footnote that we need to kind of take this issue of division, of discovering divisions and who discovered it and who, where does it go, and that needs to be a separate, needs to be somewhere else. So as Alan said, this section kind of flows, is after you have that division and after something's happened, what are the kind of limitations and powers of ICANN staff under those circumstances?
Okay, thanks, Greg. Tom?
Yeah, I had a similar comment in that I think that implementation can be done by other folks other than ICANN staff. And so I don't want to be silent on the fact that we don't want to give executive powers to other folks, such as ICANN board
Maybe they've outsourced it to someone else. But the fact that we want to make sure this is a community process and not giving executive powers to someone else.
I don't know if we have
additional principles or if we have to make this a more general principle.
This is Chuck. So would you suggest saying should be should not be left to implementers to resolve by themselves? Does that deal with your concern? And it would so to resolve by themselves. I don't know. There may be other problems with that, but I'm just trying to come up with an idea. That, by the way, we're just about out of time, and I'm aware of that. So, did you want to respond to that, Tom?
Well, we could use the word implementers, including ICANN staff and board.
This is Marika. If I can just add, because the board is not an implementer. Basically, if you look at all the resolutions, at least on PDP recommendations that the board produced, the CEO is directed to develop an implementation plan. That's basically, I think, how the language, at least for all the PDPs I've been supporting so far, how the language is written, that the CEO is directed to develop an implementation plan, which then is directed to the staff under the CEO.
And we're probably not going to have time for this now. This is Chuck again. But the board can direct that certain things happen in implementation, and so I think that's where Tom is coming from. I think we'll probably have to postpone that to the next meeting to work that through. Let me turn it over to Alan briefly, and then there's a couple things we got to do in closing for today.
Thank you. We're trying to make this one statement cover everything that we've ever talked about, and it was simply a statement saying the bottom-up stakeholder model must be used to resolve policy issues that are discovered during implementation. As far as I'm concerned, if staff subcontracts, then that staff is still doing it. They're still making the decisions and paying the bills. Whether it's done with a contract or an employee is moot in my mind. And last I heard, the board is an executive function and they can make decisions.
They should.
And, so I don't think we can preclude the board from making decisions. You may want to get rid of the board as a result, but that's a different issue. So I think we're trying to cover too much with this. It was a simple intent, and I don't think we should try to cover everything in this one sentence that we were already saying other places. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I think, as far as I can tell, this is the last principle or set of principles that we need to resolve, and unless people want to go longer, we're going to have to defer this one to next week. And then also next week, start looking at the overall outline and an efficient and an effective way of organizing these principles. And then after that, or maybe in doing that, we begin to fit things where they go. And that may itself result in some other edits that we need. But I think we've got most of the hard work, except on this one, behind us. Now, what I've done is I've indicated to the working group leadership team, the chairs and vice chairs and staff, that I think we can we should be able to have a principles document in advance of the March 5th working group meeting. And I think that still looks realistic, but we'll probably need two more meetings to wrap everything up. If next week we can finish this one that we're working on right now, and it may be more than one, and then get a good start on the outline, then I think we could use the following week, the last Thursday in February, to kind of just make sure we've final tweaks and so forth, so that we can right after that or shortly after that meeting send our proposed principles document to the full working group with plenty of time before March 5th for the working group then on March 5th to to comment and respond and go from there. Now, all that said, I'm going to be on vacation most of next week, so if it's not too inconvenient, I will try to be on the call, but I would like to have someone who will take charge in case I can't. And it reasonable possibility that I won't be able to. So like I said, I'll try. If it doesn't inconvenience my wife and friends that we're with and so forth. But if not, is there someone that would be willing to take the leadership next week if I'm unable to make the call?
Chuck, Cheryl here. I'm happy to herd cats.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I really appreciate that. And I said I'll try, but I think it's pretty clear where we need to go next week. And it'd be really nice if we're pretty far along on the outline and where things are going to go by the end of that meeting next week, if that's possible. So first finish the one we're on, and then work on the outline and where things go, and then hopefully Mary can help us get a document that we can all look at shortly after the meeting next week, and then with the plan then of the following week, trying to pretty it up and make final edits and so forth and anything else that we find we missed. Any problems with that plan? Any other comments? Okay, well, we got a lot done today thanks to you guys. I again compliment you for the excellent teamwork, and I join Greg in applauding there. I wish everybody a good rest of the week. Again, if you think of some things between now and next week's meeting, please put them on the list so that people can think about them and be prepared to respond. And if anybody has any ideas on the one that we didn't finish today, feel free to put those on the list too. That said, thanks everyone, and talk to you next time. Or maybe the next time after that.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much, Lisa. You may now stop the recordings.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.